Let's pray together. Lord Jesus Christ, we praise you, who are the one who is among us as one who serves, as the one who has come among us to lay down your life for our sakes, as the one who washes our feet and ministers to us in the smallest and lowliest of ways. And as you serve tonight, Lord, you are inviting us to the feast that you have given to us. And we pray now for your Spirit to come and stir our hearts and open our minds to meditate on the wondrous works that you have done for us and invited us into. So come, Holy Spirit, give us ears to hear. Give us hearts to love and to be open to all that you have for us. We pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. This liturgy that we proclaim every week at Holy Communion that comes out of 1 Corinthians 5, it reminds us that not only do we have a Savior who died on the cross for the sake of our sins, not only has He given to us this feast that we celebrate and partake in week in and week out as a means of grace, but it also reminds us that our Savior is a Passover lamb. That our Savior, Jesus, is drawing upon the Feast of Passover, incorporating it into his sacrifice. So on this Maundy Thursday, we are going to look at and meditate on the Passover feast and how Jesus fulfills and transforms this feast for us. So what we now know as the Lord's Supper or Holy Communion or the Eucharist, these names are given for this celebration and participation in the greater Passover that our Savior has accomplished for us. So as we read in our Gospel of Luke, on that Thursday night so many centuries ago, Jesus is sharing the traditional Passover meal with his disciples. In the verses that are preceding our Gospel passage this evening, Jesus has instructed his disciples to prepare a place and prepare all that's needed for celebrating the Passover feast. And we see how Jesus has sovereignly orchestrated everything down to the details and goes and tells his disciples to arrange what he has already provided. He says, go into the town and you'll find a particular man carrying a water jug who will lead you to a particular house where the master of that house will have an upper room ready for you, furnished, to celebrate the feast. And all of this is happening as Jesus is coming to Jerusalem, and it's the day of the feast where the Passover lamb is sacrificed. So all throughout this Lenten season, as we've been journeying with Jesus to the cross, to Jerusalem, all of it has been, every step, all the timing has been orchestrated for Jesus to come at this moment, at the Passover feast, on the night at twilight when the lamb is slaughtered. He says, I have eagerly desired to share this Passover with you before I suffer, he says to his disciples. He has brought them to this moment with every intention of it foreshadowing his cross, knowing that he was going to the cross, knowing he was going to die to bear the sins of the world. He comes to this deeply special, meaningful, symbolic feast and makes it about himself and his death. That he is the Passover lamb slain for our sins. So I want to take a few minutes to look at the Passover feast in order to get a clearer picture of what Jesus is doing here at the Last Supper. We read about it, the first Passover in our Old Testament reading in Exodus chapter 12. And the Passover became this annual Jewish holiday that commemorated the Exodus, God's redemption of his people out of slavery in Egypt. So as we come to Exodus 12, The Lord has already afflicted Egypt with 9 plagues. These are acts of God that were direct attacks on the gods of Egypt. He says, I will execute judgment on the gods of Egypt. And these plagues were all what felt like an undoing of creation. The water turning to blood, a plague of gnats and locusts and frogs and darkness that covered the land. And the final plague was about to come, when the Lord would bring about the death of every firstborn in the land. And the Lord told Moses and the people about it, that it was coming, and how they can be saved from it. At twilight, they were to slaughter a lamb for eating, and then to take the blood of that lamb and mark the doorways, the lintel, and the door frames of the house with the blood of the lamb. And in Exodus 12, verse 13, he says, the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Did you hear what the Lord said the blood was for? He said, the blood shall be a sign for you, not a sign for God. God knew where they lived. He didn't need help or directions finding their houses. You know, if it were me in Egypt on that night, I would want to make extra sure that God knew which house was mine. I'd put up a billboard and flashing lights saying, Hebrew home, don't strike here, go strike there. But God didn't need a sign. The people needed the sign. The sign was for you. The blood was a sign for you to show that the redemption, their salvation, is brought about through a sacrifice. The cost of their freedom was the blood of a lamb. And so when the angel of death passed through the land, those homes that were marked with the blood of the lamb were spared. The Lord passed over them. And so through this first Passover, the Lord redeemed his people out of Egypt, took them out in the middle of the night, took them into the wilderness to worship him, and brought them to a mountain to become the covenant people of God. So this Passover, which commemorates that night of the angel of death passing over, the escape from Egypt, and the redemption that God had won for them, this Passover was the foundational moment for Israel. It was a nation-defining event. And from then on, in the scriptures, the Lord was always known as the God who brought us out of Egypt. That was who God is because of what he had done. So this is why the Lord establishes Passover as a recurring festival. He says in verse 14 of our passage in Exodus, this day shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord. Throughout your generations, as a statute forever, you shall keep it as a feast. So every single year, every Jewish home, even today, they celebrated last weekend, every Jewish home will celebrate the Passover feast, or the Seder, as it's sometimes called. They will eat unleavened bread as a reminder of the deliverance of God, because they had to leave in the night before the bread could rise. They eat bitter herbs as a reminder of the hardships of their life of slavery. They eat roasted lamb as a reminder of the sacrifice and the blood on the doorposts that was assigned to them of God's salvation. And so not only is this annual feast a remembrance, a memorial, but it is a participation in the story that grounds their identity as a people. Every year in Passover, the Passover feast, each person is participating in the miracle of the Exodus, remembering it and entering into that story, expressing their share in the redemption of God. The chapter following ours, Exodus 13, verse 8, says, the Lord says, you shall tell your son on that day, it's because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt. So every generation, fathers tell to their sons and their daughters, this is because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt. Jewish families will recite a teaching at the Passover from the first century teacher, Rabbi Gamaliel, which says, in every generation, a person must regard himself as though he personally had gone out of Egypt. So every Jewish person is obligated to see himself, herself, as though they had personally experienced that first Passover, personally escaped the angel of death, personally gone out of Egypt in the middle of the night, and personally crossed the Red Sea on dry land, witnessing and participating in the deliverance of the Lord. So this is not just a memory. It is a living story that every person participates in. That's why they tell this generation after generation. We are part of this story, the redemption that was won for us. This Passover, this Exodus event defined them, shaped them, and established them as a people set apart for the Lord. So every Jewish person looks to the Exodus as being the story of their lives, both personally and corporately. They can say, this is the story of who we are because of what was done for us. This is who we are because of what was done for us. So year after year, they remember it, reenact it, participate in it as a firming up of that foundational identity as the Jewish people at Passover. And we know in the new covenant that all of this has been fulfilled in Jesus Christ, the one who brought the new and greater Exodus, who is the new and greater Passover lamb. Everything that God did in Exodus was pointing ahead toward the Lamb of God who was to come. It was a very real salvation, a very real redemption that had its own deep purpose. But it had a deeper purpose, pointing forward. So before, God did not need the people to sacrifice a lamb and use its blood as a sign to them. But it was to point forward to the Lamb of God that would be a pure sacrifice to rescue God's people from death. Whereas before, God in His mercy heard the cries of His people in slavery and redeemed them, brought them out of Egypt into freedom in the promised land. This was pointing forward to the eternal redemption that He would win for us in Jesus Christ. Not just freedom from slavery in Egypt, but freedom from the slavery to sin and the fear of death. That He has brought us out of the kingdom of darkness into His glorious light. Whereas before, the Lord brought the people out and established the covenant with them, setting them apart for Himself. This was pointing forward toward the new covenant that would be established by the blood of the Lamb of God. So throughout the generations, the people of Israel were rehearsing, as they were rehearsing this story, they were awaiting a new Messiah, a new Moses who would lead them in a new Exodus to a greater fulfillment of the glory that was to be theirs as God's people. They were expecting a new Moses, but God sent them a new Passover lamb. So when Jesus comes with His disciples on this first Maundy Thursday night to celebrate the Passover feast, He comes knowing that He is the true fulfillment of Passover. And He takes this great feast, the celebration that grounds the identity of God's people, and He makes it about Himself. Not out of pride, not out of grandstanding, but out of love for God's people. Out of a desire to see the world rescued. Knowing that the only way it could be done was through the blood of the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. So He takes the unleavened bread, the matzah that symbolizes God's deliverance, and He breaks it and says, this is My body given for you. This is your deliverance. This is your freedom. This is your salvation. All the symbols associated with that bread. He's saying, this is my body broken and given for you. And he takes the cup of blessing, red wine, reminding them of the sacrifice of the Lamb, and says, this cup is poured out for you. It's the new covenant in my blood. That his blood has been poured out for us and establishing for us a new covenant with God by which we are saved, sealed by the blood of Jesus. Through his blood, he has redeemed us from our sins, delivered us from the slavery to the fear of death, and has brought us into this new covenant where we are his people and he is our God. The death of Jesus Christ, his body broken, his blood shed on the cross, is the new exodus for the people of God. This is what he is communicating at this Last Supper. That his death that will happen the very next day is the exodus of the people of God, the new covenant for the people of God, the greater salvation for the people of God. Jesus is the Passover lamb slain for us. His blood on the doorposts of our hearts, saving us from death. And through his death, the power of death itself has been broken. Because the Passover lamb was God himself, life himself, breaking the chains of death from the inside out. This cross, this death, this meal is what marks us, shapes us, and grounds our identity as the people of God, the people of the covenant. We can say this is who we are because of what has been done for us. And we can say with confidence, we are the covenant people of God because his body has been broken for us. His blood has been shed for us. And we receive these gifts week after week after week as a reminder of who we are because of what has been done for us. So this feast that Jesus instituted on this night, this meal that he's given to us of Holy Communion that we share in week after week, it's not just some memorial remembrance. It's not just a mere symbol of what he has done. It forms us. It shapes us. It establishes us as the people of God, redeemed by Jesus. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10 that this cup we share in is a participation in the death of Christ. This bread that we share, it is a participation in the body of Christ. Partaking of the salvation he has won for us again and again. The sacrifice of the past brought to bear on our lives in the present. Reliving the story again and again, participating in it again and again, seeing ourselves as the ones for whom Jesus shed his blood, knowing ourselves as the ones who are saved by his body broken. So this means of grace given to us in this meal not only feeds us spiritually but forms us deeply, shapes us and defines us, grounds us more and more in the story of who we are in Christ. This is his body. This is his blood given for us. And through some mystery of the Holy Spirit, we know not how, and we're not so arrogant to pretend that we understand how the Lord works this. These simple elements of bread and wine are given to us as the body and blood of Christ, enabling us to participate again and again in his death for our sins, the propitiation of our sins that won for us our freedom, that saved our lives and ushers us into eternity. So through this grace, through this sacrifice, through receiving it through with thankful hearts of faith, We grow ever deeper into the love of Christ, ever deeper into the covenant of grace, ever deeper into the eternal life that He has won for us. What a gift. What a grace that He has given to us. What a feast that He invites us to. He is among us as one who serves. He has set the table and says to us, come and receive. Take and eat. This is given for you. This is who we are because of what has been done for us. Glory to God. Glory to Jesus Christ, the Passover Lamb. Glory to the Spirit who brings us into this mystery, this sacrament of our communion with God. Christ, our Passover Lamb, has been sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Thanks be to God.